So I overheard it again the other day. I wasn't eavesdropping, mind you. It was just one of those snatches of a conversation that you hear going on around you, you know, in a coffee shop. What kind of God would... It had to do with the suffering of people somewhere in a different part of the world. Something this person felt that God, if he existed, if he was worthy of the name God, something this person felt God should have prevented. What kind of God? Now, it's a statement more than a question. You've heard people say it, too. Maybe you've said it. As a statement about God, it often unfairly casts him as responsible for something that men or women have chosen to do. But even so, as a question about God, well, it's really important. It's an important question. What kind of God? Most of us would probably say we don't really know what kind of God is. God's a mystery to most of us. What's he like? I mean, what does he think about us? What kind of God is God? Well, we can know God. Not everything concerning him, of course, but we can know with a full certainty what kind of God is. How? Well, by understanding Christmas better. Here at Bellingham Covenant Church, we've been preparing for Christmas, this Advent season, by considering this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So during the past 4 weeks, this verse has reminded our congregation of some crucial things about Christmas, things that are all too easy to miss in this commercially curated, wistfully nostalgic experience that our culture accepts instead of the real Christmas. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Christmas is God's affair, start to finish. And even though we've found ways to celebrate what we call a very traditional Christmas, even without referring to God or giving him a second thought, as successful as we've become at doing that, we miss the essential Christmas unless we put God at its very center. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Love is the reason for the season. Love is the why of Christmas. Everything God does or doesn't do is motivated by love, solely by love. But sending his Son to live among us and to die for us, well, that's the ultimate expression of love. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. In the Bible, that expression, the world, means the realm of rebellion against God, men and women, and angelic beings in mutiny against God. And rather than act in anger to punish or destroy the world, God so loved the world. He loved it to the degree that he would give his one and only Son to save it. God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave. It's no wonder that gifts are a central part of the Christmas celebrations in most of the cultures around the world. God's ultimate gift of love, giving his one and only Son, well, that can't help but prompt within us gift-giving at this time of year. Gift giving at Christmas isn't a sideshow. No, it's the natural response of to having received such a gift from our God. God so loved the world that he gave. Now, it's good to be reminded of these basic Christian realities or Christmas realities. But unless we finish our Advent verse, it's still possible to think that we know Christmas, you know, as an event that comes every year and then goes away to make room for other events, other celebrations. A week from tonight is New Year's Eve. No, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, it's the last half of our Advent verse that brings Christmas into focus. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him might shall not perish, but have eternal life. Christmas is not an event, not an end in itself. It is a means to an end. Now, ultimately, Christmas is important not for what it is, but for what it leads to. Ultimately. That's a good word for Christmas, because Christmas is about ultimate issues. Life and death, spiritual life and death. Perishing or living on eternally. Now, most of what we do at Christmas tends to obscure these ultimate issues. Our decorating, our buying, our wrapping and baking, our Merry Christmasing. I mean, it's all so very pleasant, and I, for one, can't imagine Christmas without all of that. But Christmas has much more to do with life and death than it does with eggnog and tea rings. The stakes at Christmas are high. Life or death. Be reconciled to God or face eternal judgment. To perish or to have eternal life. The stakes are high. But the way is easy. Believe in him. Put your faith in him. Put your trust in him and his grace. Believe that the baby in the manger is the answer to the ultimate question of human existence. What will happen to me when I come face to face with God? There is a clear answer to that question in which we can all have confidence. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is the kind of God God is. God's love for us is so intense, so intentional, that he prepared for all of us and for each of us a way out of our sin predicament before we ever fell into it, before we were created, before the earth was created, even before time was created. God worked out a pathway for our redemption. Jesus. He was born for us. He died for us in the midst of our mutiny. God so loved the world. So Christmas is an expression of God's personal love to each and every person who has ever lived. So what kind of God is our God? He is a God who loves you. Whoever you are, whatever you've done or left undone, he is the kind of God who loves you. God knows you. He knows you down to the marrow of your bones. And still, he loves you. He knows everything you've ever done. He knows everything you've ever contemplated doing. And still, he loves you. He knows every word that has slipped off your tongue, and still He loves you. He knows every deed you've ever done when you assumed no one was looking. Every thought you've indulged in the privacy of your heart. He knows, and still He loves you. Every year, the late Brennan Manning finds a way to work himself into my Christmas Eve message. Here he is again tonight, a man who struggled much of his life trying to earn God's love, and then who finally discovered God's love had been his all along. So listen to these words. Take them in. Brennan Manning. God loves you just as you are. Do you believe it? He loves you just as you are. He loves you when your intellect denies it. He loves you when your emotions refuse it. When your whole being rejects it. God loves you. Now, you may be insecure, inadequate, mistaken, or pot-bellied. But never confuse your perception of yourself with the mystery that you are loved personally by the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Death, panic, depression, disillusionment may be near you. All that may be true, but this too is true. God loves you. He loves you in the morning sun. He loves you in the evening rain. He loves you beyond worthiness or unworthiness. He loves you without boundary, without regret, without breaking point, without caution. That love is yours and mine, and our children's, and our children's children, because that's the kind of God our God is. And if we ever doubt it, we just need to remember this part of the Christmas story. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Merry Christmas, everyone. Let's pray. Father, we pause for a moment, even in our prayer, to take it in. The nature of Your love for us, the depth of Your love for us, may we take it in, believe it in the midst of our being, however well or sketchily we know You, may we believe this much, that You love us. May that begin to work itself through our bones and our marrow and begin to change us into the kind of people who want to respond to Your love by following You wherever that will take us in our lives. So this Christmas season, Father, these days, tonight, tomorrow, as it remains, let that phrase, God loves me, ring through the day and the evening and the day tomorrow until we believe it in our hearts. It is a joyous thing. Amen.